It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Versatility-wise, I could definitely do that. But, mentally, it's tough to be bouncing around from, game to game, snap to snap. You know, if the staff asked me to bounce around like that, I'd be more than happy to, because I know I'll be put in the best position to make plays. But, as far as I know, sticking to that, whatever safety position that it is that they want me to be a part of, I'm going to make sure I maximize that and bring production to that.
There's your guy, Tommy. There's your Eagle.
Yes.
Justin Simmons.
Good to have him.
Talking about
Yadam too.
Yadam is he's MIA.
He's injured.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But just saying.
I'm just saying. There's Justin Simmons talking about playing corner.
Being a safety nowadays is
like being a linebacker.
A linebacker, corner. You got to be versatile. They have to be able to run, tackle, and hit. And cover. It used to be you had a free safety who was a little better in coverage, and the strong safety would run support. It was pretty simple. Now there's no, it's not even a free safety, strong safety anymore. They're just safeties, and yet sometimes they play like corners.
You think?
Kareem Jackson's a perfect example of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they signed him, they gave him sort of corner money, but throughout OTAs, he's basically a safety.
Do you think this Chris Harris absence is, kind of allowing the Broncos to try out some new stuff?
Experiment?
Yeah.
Not with coverages. They're experimenting with guys. Look, you got Ed Donatell doesn't know most of the defensive backs. So he's trying to figure out which guys can do what now, so it's not costing us a game. When you're 6-6 and you need to win, like the Broncos against the 49ers, you need to know who can do what.
How you feeling if Justin Simmons is playing corner?
Not great, but who's he on? Is he on a tight end? Is a tight end split out wide?
I'm okay
with that. If he's on Tyreek Hill, I do not like that.
Right.
That's bad. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. Right?
Yeah, because you got Kelsey. They split him out for his 106 catches a year, all the time. Guess you feel all right about that.
Well, he's going to need help.
Who's Chris Harris on this year? Old man Harris.
Which team?
For the Denver Broncos.
No, I mean, who's he covering?
We're going against the Raiders.
Antonio Brown.
Okay. So you're just
he takes your best receiver.
He's on your number one
guy. I don't know how they're going to do it, what kind of zones they're going to play with him, but if you're playing man and he doesn't have any help over the top, Chris Harris is your best option.
What are we doing then, if that's the real answer, Tommy? Seriously, what's going on here?
Just playing games.
It's a bit preposterous at this point.
You know, I read Clissy Poo's, he tweeted out an update on the progress of the Chris Harris contract situation. And I love this because I feel like he's kind of sort of carries water for the team at times. And he actually wrote this. A contract is a contract is a contract. Now, in the NFL, a contract it's not even worth the paper it's written on. It's if Chris Harris could not play and could not help this team improve, they've cut him. So that contract is a contract is a contract doesn't mean anything. It's not actually a contract.
Well, what do you think Chris is saying there?
He's trying to create the illusion that Chris Harris, this is a two-way street. He signed the contract and he should honor the contract. However, if Chris Harris was terrible in 2018, Chris Harris is cut and he forgets that part of the contract. So, for me, for people saying that he's got a year left in his contract and he should honor it, then you have to, if you're going to hold Chris Harris to that standard, then hold the team to the standard.
I don't think Mike's saying that.
He's not. A contract is a contract is a contract.
I'm looking at it, but I think...
What's he saying? What you tell me what he's saying.
I think he's saying... They've got to find some common ground here.
That a contract is a contract is
what's
a contract.
The rest, what's the rest of the tweet? I see the quote. What's the rest of the tweet? That there's no way that was all he said. I mean, I'll look it up here on Twitter, but there's no way.
Under contract, and NFL teams forever have taken the hardline stance that a contract is a contract is a contract.
Oh, that's, Mike's not saying that. He's talking about how NFL teams view it. That's not Mike saying that. He's saying this is how management views things.
Right.
What's the rest of the tweet?
What do the Patriots do with Edelman? Rudolph up in Minnesota, the tight end. They're getting a deal done up there.
Yeah, they got a deal done with Edelman.
And what about the hundreds of players that have had their... What happened to Garrett Grayson's contract? Wait, that's a contract is a contract is a contract, is it not?
I'm not angry at Chris Harris. I told you he's doing the right thing.
No, I'm just talking about the wordage, the words that Mike Kliss used.
Yeah, but he's using those at the vantage point of the owners.
It's slanted. And people will pick up on that and say, you know what? He does. He has got a contract. But where did the Broncos still paying Garrett Grayson? Are they? Because he had a contract.
Not anymore.
It's a contract is a contract.
I thought I saw him at the Arby's at Peoria and Arapahoe last week, but I could have been wrong.
I just think, you know what? I don't want Chris Harris to be paid and get a raise for this year based on what he's done and what he means for the community. I want him to get paid because he's going to make the team better this year.
Fine.
Pay him for this year.
Just like I said, who's he on? He's on the number one guy. Okay, cool. One-year deal. Let's just get a one-year deal done. Let's get it done, whatever it is. And let's, like you said, to open the show, let's move on.
Move on. It's 2019.
Not worry about anything that created prior situations that don't matter. Let's move on.
To 2019, right?
I don't know what other options we have.
Unless we're playing for 8-8.
Adam Gotsis. You know, Adam Gotsis and Bill Kolar. I told you Bill Kolar pounded the table for him. Here's Adam Gotsis talking about how much trust Kolar puts in him.
Coming into last year, I knew he definitely trusted me a lot more. And, you know, he definitely, I feel like, put a lot more on me to do stuff. But, you know, just for me personally, I knew that I could contribute more than what I was doing. And, you know, that's a good thing about the bye. It's a lot of reflection on yourself and kind of what you've put out there already. And I was just, you know, I was watching this film and I was, you know, seeing that I was leaving some plays out there that I feel like I really could have made and stuff. And I just told myself, you know, you got to really step it up and just try and make some more plays. And, you know, that just kind of started happening for me. And I think it was just a credit to all the other guys, and we all came back. The defense, we didn't waver at all after that bye, and you know, we kind of tried to switch it on a bit, but it's just unfortunate the way we closed out last year. So
it's a big year for this dude.
I mean there's a lot on him, isn't there?
A lot.
Yeah.
This is his future. If he wants to get paid, you know, going into the final year of your contract, right, your rookie deal as a second round pick, you got to start. And you got two guys rushing the passer, and I'm not just talking, you know, passing game, but that's what a lot of guys get paid on. You got Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. You have no, and Derek Wolfe, an established veteran interior presence. And you got, and they draft a guy in the third round, and you're watching him, and you're like, damn, I gotta, you know, I better pick it up. There's no excuse for him not to make more high impact plays because all the focus of the offensive coordinators and the offensive line coach and the offensive linemen aren't on Adam Gotsis. He is going to be singled up every time.
Yeah, there's a sneaky amount of weight being put onto his shoulders. I feel like there's this shifting from Wolf to Gotsis where Gotsis has been given a lot. There's a lot on Adam Gotsis this year, a lot.
For sure, and Derek Wolf is up as well after this year. So
yeah, well, Derek's, we can see where that's going, but I mean.
But you have to replace Derek Wolfe. I mean, there'll be a hole whether you address it through the draft next year or not. But
that's right. But you can see where it's going. You can see where it's going with Chris Harris. You can see where it's going with Emmanuel Sanders. And you can see where it's going with Derek Wolfe. Wolfe, Sanders, Harris. All three of those guys are probably just one more year, Tommy, to be honest with you.
Well, they're all going to be free agents.
Yeah, and they're all probably going to be gone.
Depends on how the year goes. Are we burning it to the ground or not?
Well,
I mean, if this team makes a legit run at the playoffs and into the playoffs, like I think they're going to, then it's not goodbye to these guys. We'll see.
Really? Well, I'd love to explore that. Plus, Adam Gotsis has advice for Draymond Jones, and we're hearing it again. where it's a year later. Guys love crapping all over last year. We'll hear that as well.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
A lot of it's just, you got to understand that, you know, the O-lines, that they're a lot better than, you know, college O-lines. You know, you got a couple in college, there's a couple guys that are decent on O-lines, but these guys are paid professionals out here that have been doing it a long time. So, you know, you really got to understand your scheme and what the defense is doing as a whole. You know, you can't just lock in on, you know, what you need to do, but you got to understand what the moving parts around you as well. But he's a hard worker, man. He's come in and just busted his tail so far. He's kept his head down and just working hard, and it's awesome to see, you know. I'm trying to help pull him along. Everyone's helped pulling him along. So, you know, he's going to be an impact for us this year. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing him out on the field.
That's Adam Gotsis' advice for Draymond Jones. What do you think about that advice, Tommy?
It's good advice. Draymond Jones was playing in the Big Ten. I mean, it's big-time college football, but you aren't playing against NFL offensive linemen every week. And when you get to the NFL, it's a big adjustment. So it's good on Adam Gotsis to say that he's helping him along, because that's your potential replacement, a guy that's going to take snaps from you and possibly make you irrelevant when it comes to a new contract. But he's still willing to bring him along and give him advice, which is great.
You want to say it, so just go ahead.
Say what?
You know.
Mentoring?
Oh. You said it, not me.
Man, you could... You're going to hold on to that one forever, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Yes, I am.
Thank God you don't have that iPad.
all right, here's the classic. I love this. This happens I swear, if you have a poor season, the next year right around this time, man, it is like clockwork. When guys start saying how things are different this year than last year, here's guys saying it.
I think we just need to be consistent, you know. I think, you know, the last couple of years we've started the season strong, you know, come out 2-3 wins and we're looking really good, and then we kind of just fall into that lull of like 3-4 losses, and then it's just like we're trying to gather ourselves again. So, you know, we got to come out and be consistent across all three phases, you know, teams, defense, and offense. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we can figure that out quick in this preseason. And, you know, come the season time, we're just ready to go, you know, and there's no looking back. It's we win a game, it's who's next, you know, who's the next team up. You know, we can't be thinking five weeks down the schedule, we got this guy. It's every week's that championship week for us.
This year. Yeah, last year. This year.
Are you debating that this year is not different than last year, which is different from the year before? Every year is different.
Every year there's a reason why this year is going to be better than last year.
He's not saying better. He just said that it's different. And this year is true because he has a different defensive coordinator. He has the same position coach. But the offense looks entirely different. He's practicing against different guys. It is different. It's always different. Why are you banging on him? It is different.
Oh, God. I just hear
it. It's just football. How is it different from last year? That's the question posed by people like you.
Me?
You.
Me?
Your type. Media types.
I've just heard it year after year. It's all. It's always interesting.
It's different every year, except for the years with Peyton Manning were pretty consistent.
It would be funny to have somebody come out and be like, "Whew, we were good last year, man. I hope it's just like last year."
I don't think it's going to be.
I mean, we were really good.
Because 2016, they could say that we were really good last year, but things are different because we have a different quarterback.
We might be in big trouble this year. That'd be funny. Now, that would be funny. Well, we've been at this now for about a month or so, and man, this is going to be tight.
Players, coaches, nobody knows how the season is going to go. Week one in Oakland, nobody knows how they're going to be. You've got to go through training camp.
All right, let me ask you this.
You've got to finish OTAs.
Being more serious, what do you know at this time of year? What do you know?
What do we know? Von Miller will start.
Do you
Bradley
know if you
Chubb will
all right,
start?
Do you know if you have a better team at this time of year than the year before? Can you tell?
On paper?
No, on the field. Like, you're a player. You've been out there.
Oh, Cortland Sutton's talking about, you know, catching balls from Joe Flacco and how they're right where they're supposed to be. He's giving me a chance to catch the ball. So the receiver knows that there's an upgrade at quarterback, unless he's being nice. You remember the comments he made? I mean, he didn't mention Case Keenum, but he basically was comparing last year's quarterback, Case Keenum, to the guy throwing the ball now. But last year, they were all excited about Case Keenum because supposedly he was an upgrade from the three blind mice that played quarterback the year before. But he wasn't there, so he didn't know.
Do you think we're over the Wade Phillips hangover?
Now we are, yeah, for sure.
Now.
Yep. A defensive coordinator as a head coach with Ed Donatell. Now, I don't know how it's going to work with Donatell upstairs now and Fangio on the sideline as a head coach, but the last 2 years, that was the hangover. And I told you that was rebuilding as well.
Yeah. They didn't want to admit it was rebuilding. And granted, Joe Woods isn't the sharpest tool in the shed, but it would have been almost impossible for anybody to follow Wade considering what happened in 2015. I'll give you that. That's for sure.
It didn't need to happen, though. I mean, Wade should still be the defensive coordinator
here. Should still be here. Should have a lifetime contract. Why would you want to move on from Wade? Still don't understand that one. I don't know if I'll ever get that one.
Money and pride? You can't get that?
But whose money? Whose money? Whose money? This isn't a salary cap situation.
The team's money and pride, and it was Wade's money.
Whose money? No, John Elway's money? I mean, Joe Ellis's money? Whose money are we talking about with a coach?
You're kidding? I mean, Wade went into negotiations saying, I'm the reason we won the Super Bowl is my defense.
He's got a good argument.
So I should be paid for that. And John Elway thought, well, you're not worth that because it's a team that I put together. I selected the players that you used. I signed free agents that you used for your defense.
But why would Elway even care, though? Oh, okay.
All right, let's apply that to
good
Chris
argument.
Harris Jr. Why don't they?
That's a different thing. That's a salary cap. Those are players.
No,
you don't have a salary cap for coaches.
There's no salary cap. That's such a weak argument. You can find money anywhere. You can guarantee someone's money and extend it over the remaining years of the contract. You can find money.
Fine. Then I'm not going to say it's money. Then I'm going to say it's just ego.
It's ego and money. Wade wanted to be paid. That's where the money comes in, based on what he felt his worth was to a Super Bowl winning team.
Well, what a shame.
John felt differently. John felt like you should be paid on par with other defensive coordinators. I picked your players. And he has a point with Brian Sanders.
When we come back, Drake Gate goes on. I can't even believe it. I can't believe it. But it's actually becoming a gargantuan story. And Chris Long, have you seen what Chris Long has been talking about lately? Now that he's retired, we actually were touching on it. Was it yesterday or a couple days ago?
Well, I was trying to tie in why Denver can't get the draft because of our marijuana laws.
Wow, that's a good conspiracy theory.
Well, you're not listening. This was just yesterday.
Yeah, I got my CTE. I told you that. Stick around. We'll get to it all again next.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
I know this song.
Nice!
My daughter listens to this song all the time.
Sing along.
I don't know the words.
Just mumble.
I don't know it that well. Bad things.
There you go. God's plan.
God's plan or bad things?
I think he's saying it's God's plan. I don't want to die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some buttons. Just throwing like Raptors highlights. They gon' tell the story that was different with me. Does he say bad God's things? Plan. No, God's plan.
Oh, I thought
God's
he said
plan,
bad.
Not bad things.
Bad things. I hold back sometimes I won't. Yeah. Oh, he does. I feel good sometimes
I don't. Hey, hey, hey. I finesse down Western Road. Hey, next. Hey. Might go down to
G-O-D. Yeah. Hey, can we just... Hey. I go hard on Southside G. Yeah, right. So you see the news today with Drake.
What I mean, what the
reply,
news
his reply.
Yeah, go ahead. I've seen him. Go ahead.
Well, he didn't actually reply. Yeah, I know they did. I know he does. Eventually. Trying to read what he liked a comment on Instagram. I don't know what that means, but I saw
you know what that means.
You think this is Much Ado About Nothing and it's fantastic, but it's still headlines on ESPN and a lot of people. It's a polarizing topic for sure.
Yeah.
And you can take whatever side you want on it, but your side's idiotic. I just want to read the comment that he liked.
Okay.
Sports media, this is from, this is the thing that he likes. I don't know who wrote it. Sports media simply needs to accept the simple rule the Miami Hurricanes signed into law back in the 80s. Not in law, but, you know. Mm. If you don't want the opposing team to celebrate and dance, prevent them from scoring, winning, or achieving their objective, get over it and keep it moving.
There you go.
If you don't want the opposing team, there's no Drake and team. There's no Drake and team. Never, ever. Ambassador, however you want to say it, super fan. But his role is he's a fan when I'm watching him.
Yeah, well, he's an ambassador. He works for him or he's something.
Okay, he liked a comment meaning that he sees himself
as part of the team,
as a member of the team.
Yeah.
So he's either a coach or assistant coach, B, a trainer or athletic trainer.
Yeah.
Or C, a player.
Or D, an ambassador.
There's no Drake and team. You're going to defend this. He liked a comment likening himself.
I think the whole thing is a riot. I think it's so funny. What he's saying is, if you don't want me to get all excited, then beat us.
I saw Stokely on the way out. I go, I cannot believe you're a Drake apologist. And he goes, it's boring and it was entertaining. And I said, two nights before that game, it was a double overtime game and it was the same antics. Giannis threw up an air ball in that game as well from the free throw line. But the dude is on the court. He's getting minutes.
Well, the NBA doesn't mind this.
No.
What do you mean he's getting minutes?
He's getting minutes. He's on the court. As soon as an NBA player steps on the court, that clock starts. That's how they figure out the minutes. He's getting legit NBA minutes.
Holy cow.
They got 6 men on the ice. That's what they got.
It's fun, Tommy. It's
not
fun.
It's distracting because now I'm watching the games, and instead of watching the ball being dribbled up the court, I'm trying to see what Drake is doing.
Exactly. And by the way, this was like the worst rated series for a conference final like in NBA history. This one was dead on the vine. It was boring.
A double overtime game, if that doesn't get you in excited about the NBA, then you don't like the NBA. Or are you just a Western Conference guy? Because they have one of the greatest young players, along with Jokic and Giannis, in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, they were up 2-0. The Greek Freaks were up 2-0, and it was freaking boring. And thank goodness, I mean, in terms of interest.
Golden State just swept Portland, and their ratings were better.
Yeah, because they're a superstar team.
Western Conference, and people don't know anything about Milwaukee.
That's right.
So now we have to interject Drake.
Thank God. God's plan.
13th guy on the bench. The 13th man.
Very fun to watch.
No.
Not getting in the way of anything.
If you like basketball. If you like NBA basketball, people liken him to Spike Lee. Spike Lee's antics were as a fan, just sitting there enjoying a game. Yeah, chirping Reggie Miller giving it back to him, but it would seem fun-natured, good-natured.
This doesn't seem fun-natured?
Giannis did not seem like he appreciated getting chirped.
Oh, my God, dude. And people chirp at NBA players who sit courtside in every freaking game.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're not standing up getting legit NBA minutes, are they?
Giorgio Dimitriopoulos, maybe. The Greek Freak's former agent said on Twitter, imagine a gig and an athlete on VIP seats right next to the band stands up on the stage just to show off during the entire game, knowing cameras are on him, occasionally even massaging the singer. Security and him both allow it. Never seen anything as disrespectful as this before. Then he deleted that tweet. A lot of crying going on in Milwaukee. A lot of crying with the Bucks. The herd.
You love it. It's entertaining to you.
I do love it.
Okay.
It makes me want to watch the series. I'm not interested.
Why does a streaker always get tackled in the middle of a baseball game? Because it detracts from the game.
You're comparing Drake to a streaker?
Yes. It's
He's not stopping the game.
Well,
the game's not stopping.
In theory, they could because he is a sixth man. I can't for the life of me. This is right up here with fifth year option, and your feelings on Drew Lock at 31 and 42. This is equivalent to that. This makes no sense to me. I don't know how your brain is working like this.
Because it's fun.
It's not working at all.
What are we talking about? We're talking about a guy who's a big fan who's doing what fans do.
If the product on the court in the NBA playoffs in the conference finals isn't enough to entertain you, don't watch the game.
It's not enough to entertain. It's boring.
Then don't watch.
I haven't been. Now I will. Now I'm watching. I want to have Drake cam. Just put the camera on Drake the whole time.
I don't think he's going to be in Milwaukee. He's not invited.
Can't get into the United States? Is he having immigration issues?
He's just not invited to Milwaukee, the arena.
Well, if they were smart, they'd invite him and they'd stick him in the front row. And then the Milwaukee fans, all the cheeseheads can let him have it.
No, they'd get thrown out.
He can sit there right next to Lenny and Squiggy. Or Ralph Mouth or Laverne and Shirley or, I don't know, pick your Wisconsin celebrity.
Ralph Mouth? Wasn't that Happy Days?
Yeah, that was based in Milwaukee? Yes.
I didn't know that.
Well, Shirley was dating Richie. Where do you think she was going from the bottling plant? You think she was crossing state lines? No.
Shirley dated Richie Cunningham?
Yeah. Yes.
They cross-pollinated shows back then?
Yes.
I didn't know this.
I can't wait for a Nuggets game. We'll have Mork and Mindy.
I'm just saying it's just opened up a can of worms for all these fans sitting courtside going, you let that guy do it, now I'm going to do it. Now we're going to have 30.
Good.
Now we're going to have 30 people on the court. It's not going to be a lot of room for the players to actually play basketball anymore.
Figure out what team DJ Khalid likes. He brings like 50 people on stage with him every time. It'd be hysterical. So I'm being facetious, but it's just
you
fun.
You think it's the game of basketball, NBA conference finals basketball is not enough for you. You need something else.
To me, it's fun.
Hey, you must have loved the Crush games when the Crush were here and their halftime shows because the game wasn't enough for you.
I couldn't tell when it was halftime between all the T-shirts, the dogs, the motorcycles, the bikes, the things dropping from the ceiling. I think, I really couldn't tell what was going on. But thank God I can go to a Mammoth game and also lose my hearing at those events as well.
I know baseball hits home with you. And
No, you're wrong on that.
I'm trying to think of...
You're wrong. I think baseball is...
Billy Crystal, is he a Dodgers fan?
He's a Yankees guy. Oh, my God, he's like Mr. Friggin' Yankee.
So if Billy Crystal is... They move his seat onto the field. So he's in a recliner down the third baseline. You're okay with that because that's what this is akin to.
It's not even close to it, but that is so comical. I love it.
It's identical. It's a famous person.
So I am a big baseball guy. I do love baseball more than anything, okay? That's my sport. Baseball is freaking boring. Did you see there was a college baseball game? It was LSU against somebody. Went for over 6 hours. Who's watching that?
Not Drake.
No. No, it's boring. I love baseball. I am a baseball addict. Can't get enough baseball. Love it. But I can admit when it's boring, when, if we had more celebrities at baseball games doing goofy things, I'd be all into it. It'd be awesome.
So you're an advocate for the Rockies with the guys in the toothbrush and the tooth and all that running around, possibly hurting Daniel Murphy. That's, you know, just for the entertainment.
It's a highlight. All right. We'll move on. God's plan. We'll see what happens next. I can't.
Well, we're going to see in game six.
Well, I guess. Right.
Yeah, Hannibal Lecter him. Just strap him to his seat.
All right. Broncos.
Six man in the court. It's ridiculous. Broncos. Get legit NBA minutes.
Broncos OTA is rambling on.
He had more minutes than Will Barton.
As Sports Illustrated ranked the new head coach with the toughest jobs in 2019. Oh, my God. Boy, another national publication crapping all over the Broncos. Details next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
I think you even brought it up. We just got to have somebody from the fray. It's too late now. But
no, let's start planning for
next year.
Western Conference Finals. Who can be our Drake and just have access to the entire arena?
Yeah.
Carte blanche. Just have at it. Whatever.
Does some guy from the fray make sense, though? I mean.
No, because I would guess the opposing team would know who he is. I don't think many Nuggets would know the fray.
Oh.
It's got to be something current.
The fray's not current?
Are they? Have they had a song in a while?
Are they?
Eh.
And to save life.
And four of them on. I mean, we'd have nine in the court getting legit minutes. At some point, someone's going to pass the ball to Drake. It's going to happen.
That'd be awesome. Can you think Drake can throw down in his Timberlands? Do you think he can?
No.
No.
I bet he doesn't have an athletic bone in his body.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, can someone tell D-Mac Mork is dead and Laverne is dead? Man, people are just so hung up on little things.
Just small facts there.
Yeah, I know they're dead. It's just, you know, it's a joke.
I had no idea that
Shirley was on Happy Days?
Yeah.
Richie's girlfriend, yeah. That's how it started.
Was it Richie in high school?
Yep.
And he was dating an older woman?
I don't think she was. Well,
she was working all day. She wasn't in high school.
She was at the bottle plant. Yeah.
She left her glove on the bottle.
All right. Shamil Shamazel, Hoff and Pfeffer Incorporated. They worked at the beer plant.
Maybe she was supplying beer to Richie.
To the high school kids.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, that makes sense.
All right. All right. All right.
Right. The reason why D-Mac likes Drake is because he tries the same thing during Broncos press conferences. I have never rubbed a coach's shoulders ever during a press conference.
It's the same effect, though. What the texter is pointing out, and it's correct, is that it's about attention. Right?
That's what I'm doing?
I think so.
Really? That's the only reason I ask the questions I ask. That's it.
Possibly. Possibly.
No. No, that is mentoring. Definitely. That was a follow-up question, and it was something everybody was thinking. It wasn't that great of a question.
All right. Text line is also asking if you're in a closet right now. And
I'm not in the closet.
You're in Arizona, right?
Yeah, I am in Arizona. My kids singing the national
anthem. How was your air flight?
It was kind of rocky, actually. It was not good.
Tough air flight.
Yeah, it wasn't my standard. I was not on Southwest, which I fly almost relentlessly, but it was not Southwest. I'll leave the airline out of it. It was not good, actually. Survive, though. Look at these other Texans fans. People love going to Crush games.
And the Crush games were so high scoring, I couldn't believe they had to have such an elaborate halftime show for those games. I mean, it was nonstop action.
It was unbelievable.
In those games.
It was crazy.
Was it Harold, the wide receiver? I think that was his name.
Yeah, Damien Harold.
He was number one. The dude, he scored like 8 touchdowns every game. He was fantastic.
From John Dutton.
John Dutton, there you go.
Yep. I could never understood why John Dutton wasn't good enough to be a third string quarterback in the NFL.
That's a different game.
Tommy, no wonder you didn't know Richie dated Shirley, Cindy Williams. Never happened. Yeah, it did. Richie dated Cindy Williams' character in American Graffiti. Yeah, that's how they came up with Happy Days, dope. If D-Mac's going to talk crap, at least get it straight. Yes, they did American Graffiti, and then Happy Days started, and she was in both. Look it up. Look it up.
She still won't be at the Bucks game tonight.
We're getting a lot of nominations for Don Cheadle.
Denver East? East Angel?
All right.
The guy from One Republic?
The guy, who's the guy from One Republic?
It was on the text line. I thought a couple band members from One Republic were from Denver.
You know, I got somebody. I think there's Five Finger Death Punch, I believe, has Colorado ties. Now, that could be interesting.
How about 303?
I don't know 303.
Three.
Don't know them. Is that, who's that?
I got a...
Oh, boy.
What's chorus. They got a song.
D-Mac, you're the only journalist with the cojones to ask the good questions. There you go, my friend.
But do you ask the good questions to ask a good question?
Yes.
Or to Drake it up?
No.
You're Draken.
No, I'm not Draken. I'm definitely not Draken. You've seen me many times. You think I'm Draken?
Well, for you, it's your voice. It's being allowed to...
I can't do anything about that.
No, but you use it over and over again after your Drake moment.
String cheese incident.
I don't know what that is.
Ah, here's a good one. Kip Winger.
Oh, Trey Parker's from
Colorado. That's good. That's good. Yes. And Matt Stone, the two of them. That's it right there. Trey Parker and Matt Stone. They both went to see you. They're both from Colorado. That's perfect.
Big Ed Todd and the Monsters?
No. Stop. They got it. Who sent that in? Was that a text? That's perfect. That is perfect. You'd have Cartman and, all of them.
Train is from here?
Stop. You already got the guys. Trey Parker and Matt Stone. That is absolutely perfect.
They'd be up for it, too.
Yeah, they'd be perfect.
Can they shoot? Can they dribble?
That doesn't matter.
What are you talking about? They're going to get minutes.
That's fine. You can have unproductive minutes. You'd have Cartman on the court heckling people. That is free. Whoever. Do we have a prize? I mean, that is perfect. First of all, everybody knows who those guys are. I mean, everybody knows who those guys are. And everybody knows Cartman. And they can do just goofy voices the whole time.
They can do Kenny.
They can do
so
Kenny.
They won't get in trouble because nobody knows what Kenny says.
Exactly. You're a Greek freak. Yeah. I can't do any of those voices, but it'd be awesome if I could. Dude, that's it. It's the South Park guys.
I see I'm seeing the 303 lyrics right now, but I'm not going to say them, but.
All right, well, I'm glad we got that figured out.
When you read the lyrics to the 303 song I'm thinking of, it's pretty funny.
All right, we can move on. The South Park guys are perfect. Nobody's going to top that. We don't have any bands from here that are like Drake. Not even close. The South Park guys.
Thanks, Lee. Good on Denver.
Sports Illustrated ranked the new head coaches with the toughest jobs in 2019. Vic Fangio was fifth on that list. It's KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver. Tommy, does Vic Fangio... Well, I'm curious who was ahead of him, to be honest with you.
They're all new guys. LaFleur with the Packers and Gase with the Jets. Kitchens with the Browns. Kingsbury with the Cardinals is number one.
I don't think Kingsbury has a tough job at all. Why does he have a tough job? He's got the complete support of ownership. He's got the quarterback that he wants.
Right.
There's zero expectations that they make the playoffs. Ooh, zero.
I don't know.
Zero. Zero.
You don't think there's a lot of pressure on a college quarterback coming into the NFL, where historically have they not done well? The Sabins.
Not this year. Not this year. Maybe next year. Maybe in 2 years, but not in 2019.
He handpicked the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
His offense, there is a ton of pressure.
No.
If this thing's going to work.
What do you think they have to, how many games do you think they have to win to check off the list, like, hey, that was a fine year?
They could be 0-16. They could be 0-16, and you could see a glimmer of hope. You could be 0-16 and go, this is a complete disaster. Now we're on to our third head coach in 3 years.
No. There's pressure for every job. I mean, I'm not saying there's no pressure, but they're clearly giving themselves time. Clearly.
This list is only the newest coaches.
By your standard, you got John Elway being fired if they go 8-8. You've got way more pressure on Vic Fangio.
8-8 is pressure now, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, they've been 11-21.
Being mediocre is now pressure.
Yes.
Man.
Things have changed. Back-to-back losing seasons for the first time since the early 70s. 11-21 over the past 2 years. This would be the fourth year in a row not making the playoffs. I mean, the Broncos have had longer stretches than that. The Broncos had a longer stretch of not making the playoffs with Mike Shanahan. It got Mike Shanahan fired.
That's not accurate.
Oh, maybe it was a combo meal of Shanahan into McDaniels, right? So how many years, right? So how many years did Shanahan go?
Last 3 years were 6, 7, and 8. And then McDaniels, 9, 10.
Okay. So
and then Tebow brought us out of, well, they were still 8-8, but got
AFC
us to the playoffs.
West champs.
Yeah.
AFC West champs. Unopened t-shirts and hats strewn across the locker room.
That was a hot division that year. Hot.
I'll never forget the AFC West championship t-shirts and hats unopened in their plastic wrapping and lockers. The players were almost... Chris Harris was excited, actually. Like, he was the one player who was like, yeah, I'm pumped. Got my hat, got my t-shirt.
And they were free. He was undrafted.
Right? He loved it. He was fine with it.
I just can't accept. I can't, because when I look at the roster... Yeah, there's pressure on Vic Fangio for sure. But these are eight new coaches, and he's fifth. Kingsbury has to produce.
No, not this year he doesn't.
Oh, well, how many years you give him? You gave the guy before him 1 year.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Does that not set the precedent for what they want to do?
No, they got 3 years no matter what.
Okay, if this offense, if Kyler Murray gets hurt in week 3, and this offense is... tragically, historically bad. We're going to roll with Kingsbury the next year?
God, I don't even know who's the backup in Arizona?
Josh Rosen. Oh, no. Nope.
Nope. Seriously, who is the backup? Does anybody know?
Does it matter?
Well, I mean, you just put a scenario where Murray's hurt in week 3.
It doesn't matter. He's handpicked the number one overall pick to run his offense, and if it doesn't go well,
Brett Hundley.
Rookie NFL head coach.
Brett Hundley. Do you remember the Brett Hundley story out of UCLA? Do you remember the hype on Brett Hundley?
I liked him coming out.
A lot of people liked him. And I believe he went in the second round.
Did he go to Green Bay?
Yes. There was way more hype on Brett Hundley than Drew Locke. Way more. Went in the second round. Just a whatever guy. Brett Hundley. Yeah, totally remember him.
I'm the one saying 8-8, burn it to the ground. But Vic Fangio, like I told you when we started the show, he's still the coach. I told you that. The GM is gone. And Flacco most likely would be gone.
Dude, there is a no way. I don't care what happens, John Elway's not getting fired by Joe Ellis. No way. There's 3 years left on his deal, so this year, two
Maybe
more after
he walks
that.
Away. I just...
Oh, well, that's a possibility.
Do you think John Elway's going to sit around and just continue on this route? The dude's a winner. I could see him walking away, saying, I'm done, man. It didn't work. It sort of worked in the beginning, but...
I can't see him doing that if they don't make the playoffs. I actually cannot see that. I don't see that. But I could see them, if they made the playoffs, if they go 10-6 and they bow out in the first round, I could see him walking away after that. Yeah. I don't see.
He'd walk away after they make the playoffs, but if they don't make the playoffs, he stays?
Yeah, I don't think he walks away. I mean, I think John has to have some sort of exit strategy one way or the other, and I just cannot imagine him. I really can't imagine him walking away if they're not. If they haven't returned to greatness.
His mission was accomplished in 2015.
I know. That was the moment.
He did it.
I know. He did
so,
do it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if he chose to walk away
twice in his career?
On top. It'd have been amazing. It would have been unbelievable. I don't know why he didn't, to be quite honest with you.
Because I think he wanted to do it without Peyton Manning.
Well, that's a big ego right there.
No, it's not. It's a guy that wants to, you know, see his roster that he had constructed win without Peyton Manning. And I think he thought, as well as that defense played in 2015, we'll do it again next year with Brock Osweiler. That was probably his thought process. And then that didn't happen.
Then why didn't you do more?
You still had Wade.
Yeah, so why didn't you do more to secure Brock Osweiler then? Why'd you let that fall apart?
Their offer, their final offer was fair. It was in the neighborhood, $15 million a year?
I think more.
For a guy that started seven games for you? That was more than fair.
Well, went to hell in a handbasket. Why did Brock refuse it then? Which was a mistake. I'll give you that. That was a mistake.
He probably had hurt feelings from the initial lowball offers.
All that stuff, yes.
And Texans made a similar offer, and he jumped at it.
Yeah,
his hurt feelings ran so deep that he didn't travel to the White House when the rest of the team did, under the guise of, I need to be at OTAs.
Right. And he didn't come to the ring ceremony. Didn't go to the White House. Three things, really. Didn't go to the White House. Didn't go to the ring ceremony. Didn't fly from Scottsdale to Denver for Peyton Manning's final press conference. I did that earlier today, and I'm on the air with you. It's a short flight, Tommy.
Yeah, those air flights are fast.
Oh, man, you're killing me. You are killing me. Those flights.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even flying private. I was jammed in amongst, like, four different people and tough flight. Somebody took my bag accidentally. I had to track him down. Swear to God, that happened. Guy had a bag just like mine. It was unbelievable. It was crazy that I was absolutely that I got to catch up with them. And I'm like, hey, you got my bag, dude. Yeah, John had the moment. John could have 2015. He's not going out with a losing record or a 500 record. I cannot see that happening. And I cannot see him being fired either, by the way. There's no way Joe Ellis would do that after an 8-8 season.
You're probably right. I just don't think they go 8-8.
I know. You're very optimistic, and I hope you're right.
Because you haven't given me any reason not to be. You haven't. The only thing you cling on is to Drew Locke being drafted in the second round and the turmoil that's going to cause and things like that. But you can't tell me our defensive lineup, assuming Chris Harris is here, is not far and away better than last year.
It is. You're right.
You can't tell me that the quarterback is not a better fit for this offense than the quarterback last year for that offense. You can't.
Quarterback's better. You're right. Keep going.
Did our tight ends get upgraded?
Yes.
Did our left guard get upgraded? He's young and healthy.
Where's Ron Leary playing?
He's not right now. I'm just going with Risner right now. He's young and healthy.
Okay. Yeah. Still got the same left tackle.
May have stepped back. Yeah, but didn't we upgrade our offensive line coach? Isn't that why we courted him so hard?
We updated both of our offensive line coaches. Don't forget about Chris Cooper.
Did we upgrade at right tackle?
Yes. Right tackle? Did you see Vel? We didn't even bring this up this week. Valdir retired as a Patriot.
Yeah.
That's the guy. I got to give him props on that one. And we knew Valdir was hurt. He probably had a better year last year than anybody actually expected. But how much did the Patriots even pay that dude?
Probably vet minimum. It's probably a one-year deal.
Dodge that.
That was a good signing for them.
A guy Broncos, that
could come in and give depth.
Broncos made the right call on that one.
And that was Casey Joyner. That was one of the Broncos' big losses, was losing Valdir. He said three offensive linemen. He was one of them.
Yeah, that was
one of the big things why we had such a terrible offseason.
That was a terrible analysis by Casey Joyner.
We should have him on.
Explain
yourself.
That would be great.
Explain this.
Our guest is Casey Joyner. He thought losing Valdir was going to be a big mistake. Valdir retired after 36 hours with the Patriots. Explain yourself.
Explain. How did we lose two of our top three corners?
I don't want us to attract too much attention on ourselves for asking a question, though. I don't want to.
No, that's just taking information that he put out there.
Yeah. That's not
and,
a Drake.
And having him answer to it.
That's not a Drake-like question?
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a series of questions based on something he wrote. And disputing it.
Valdir.
Because it's all inaccurate.
All right, so you're going. You're good. Good, good. Update, good.
You'd think better. That Philip Lindsay is...
I don't know about Philip Lindsay.
Health-wise?
Don't know. How is Shane Ray after that injury? Which, from what I've been told, is somewhat similar.
Well, would he have three surgeries on it? All right, Royce Freeman. Devontae Booker.
Yeah, I'm a little interchangeable there. It doesn't matter to
me. I'm going to trust in George Aston. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you brought him up. I'm so glad you brought him up.
He's going to upgrade our offense.
George Aston is the competing fullback to Andy Janovich, and we're going to have his high school coach on.
Yes.
I want to call him the monster.
Yes,
I want to call him the monster.
Hell yeah!
Because that was the headline of the one article we found about him, you know, the monster. I think that's a freaking awesome nickname, by the way. As a fullback, wouldn't you want to be called the monster?
Yep. Something
George,
like that.
George the Monster Aston? I mean, that's up there with George the Animal Steel.
All right, George. So going back to 8-8 and your thoughts on 8-8 and me saying that the team's 10-6 or better, maybe we've regressed at center. I don't know, but if they didn't have any centers on their board, they know something I don't and you don't. But maybe they feel like they've upgraded at center over Matt Paradis. But I'm not seeing a team declining. I see them getting. Did we upgrade at coach?
Yes, for sure. No doubt about that. All right, how many? Let's just start here then. Okay, fine. You play the AFC West six times. You got two games against Kansas City. How you doing?
They're 4-2. They split with KC.
They split with KC.
Sweep Oakland. Split with San Diego.
Sweep Oakland.
Yep. Oakland is a bunch of parts put together, and when that happens, it either is going to work later. Or it's not going to work at all. They did get Brown from the Patriots, who's a fantastic tackle. Very underrated. The Patriots made one of the greatest trades of all time with the 49ers last year. I think they traded a fifth-round pick for Brown to play left tackle for him. But, man, I don't know. I'm not.
Well, you are the most optimistic guy on this, so I feel like I'm just constantly raining on your parade.
And division is easy. I mean, you know, we don't know what this team is going to look like until after training camp.
And Joe Flacco is going to be...
I'm assuming health for Joe Flacco.
4,500 yards, 32 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Joe Flacco.
28-12.
28-12?
I think in 2014 he was like 27-14. But he's got he's got better weapons here.
Manuel Sanders going to be okay?
Yep.
Man, you are... All right, good, good. Listen, roll out the barrel. Sounds good.
You know what? Like, they only offered Matt Paradis a one-year contract due to his injury. They also knew about Emmanuel Sanders and still picked up his option in March. And you just thought that's money, just thinking money? Just give us some time? But no, you don't give a guy that kind of money in March if you don't expect him to come out. So they know where he's at. I know he said he's not behind, he's not ahead in his rehab, but... A lot hinges on health of him and Flacco and Philip Lindsay.
Right.
Yeah, but every team's got this.
Is that the ultimate, like, get out of jail free card? Is week three Sanders is hurt and Flacco's hurt?
Nope. All right, well, if Flacco's hurt and Drew Lock is in there, expectations change.
Is Drew Lock in there in week three if Flacco's hurt?
If they're not keeping, I told you yesterday, I don't think they keep Hogan on the roster. And if Rippon's on practice squad, I don't think you elevate a guy from practice squad to starting.
Right. Nope.
So it's Drew Lock.
Although you could keep Hogan in three quarterbacks for...
Maybe you bring Hogan back to back Drew Lock up, depending on the severity of the injury.
Really kill you to keep three quarterbacks on the roster for six or seven games?
It could if that's at the expense of some other position. If Jake Butt comes back and he's healthy and Fumagalli's fantastic, because we don't know a lot about him either.
Hey, let me roll this past you. I use roll on purpose. This week, the league and the players' union announced the creation of a joint committee that will study alternative methods of pain management. And considering that a number of players have said marijuana is a safer and more effective way to curtail the chronic soreness that comes with being an NFL player, marijuana will be a huge topic of conversation, both on the joint committee and when the owners and the players try to work out a new collective bargaining agreement in the coming years. This is part of an article about Chris Long, who just says, I smoke marijuana all the time. And he said, like what you said, you know when it's coming.
It's in May, early June is when the testers come in.
You'd basically have to be an idiot to get tested positive. There's 30-something states. There's over 30 states that have some sort of marijuana allowance, and 10 in NFL cities that it's just fine. You know, no, it's part of state law. And Chris Long says, you know, not only did he smoke marijuana during his 11 NFL seasons, but he said that if it was during that testing period and he was not smoking marijuana, he said that he and other players would just go for another substance, whether it was, you know, opioids or alcohol or just something else. Quote, I'm not a dry snitch. I'm not going to put a percentage on how much the league smokes, but I certainly enjoy my fair share on a regular basis. So, you know, and I was never afraid to say that, and I'm able to say it more explicitly now. If not for that, I'm not as capable of coping with the stressors of day-to-day NFL life. A lot of guys get a lot of pain management out of it. Toradol did more pain management for me. How much Toradol did you use, Tommy?
Oh, we'd take the shots of Toradol. I don't think they're allowed to do it anymore. We'd get it the night before the game. It'd last 24 hours, and basically you were pain-free.
Right.
But then the next day, after it wore off, it was, you know, it'd come back tenfold, the pain. But it got you through the game. It was fantastic. But listen, if there's other methods out there for players to alleviate pain and the public in general, as opposed to Vicodin or Percocet or any other of those drugs,
yeah,
why wouldn't the league be behind the players on this?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I know they haven't figured out a way to monetize it, is my guess. Like, they haven't figured out a way to make a buck off of it. But it's to me, it seems like it would be the far safer route than some of these other drugs that you can get readily from the training room.
Here's what Long said to what you're saying. Testing players once a year for street drugs, which is a terrible classification for marijuana. This is Long talking. It's kind of silly because, you know, players know when the test is. We can stop. And in that month or two that you stop, you're going to reach for the sleeping pills. You're going to reach for the painkillers. You're going to reach for the bottle a little bit more. I mean, what Long's saying is just to pass the marijuana test, you may be going to more dangerous drugs.
Right.
Well, now that's stupid, right? I mean, that's just dumb. Oh, yeah. Because I'm going to test for marijuana, now I'm going to, go heavy on Percocet and sleeping pills? I'm going to drink heavier for the next month because I'm afraid of a marijuana test? All right, Tommy, is that true? First of all, that's Chris. Is that true?
That you would substitute
one
painkiller for another?
Yeah, I mean, you must have known guys.
Yeah, but I think in the offseason around that time of the test, you're not in the physical pain that you're in during the season. But it's a simple test to get around, like I said. And like Chris Long is saying, that you know when the test is going to occur, for the most part, within a few weeks.
Let me ask you this,
so
then.
To clean the system out, you stop doing whatever they're... And when he's saying marijuana, you're also being tested for heroin and cocaine.
Right.
And things along that line.
Right.
And to lump those all together is idiotic.
Right. Agreed. There's a difference between being on heroin and smoking marijuana.
Right.
Let me ask you a tough question, though. Let me ask you a tough question. I'm not trying to be Drake, but let me ask you a tough question. How often, what percentage of NFL guys in the offseason are medicating on a daily basis for pain management?
Man, probably not a lot, unless you'd undergone surgery. But even then, the pain from surgery only lasts, you know, depending on the guy. You know, I had some surgeries where I didn't take anything because it wasn't that painful. Like,
Are you in constant pain today?
No, no, because I'm not playing football.
Why don't you think you're in pain, constant pain today? You've had a lot of surgeries. You played up as long as anybody in the NFL.
I lost weight. I can't explain why, because I did have surgeries and my knees are kind of not great. I mean, if I were to play basketball or something like that, I'd probably feel the effects of it. But, you know, I'm trying to be smart about what I do. But some guys leave the game broken down and in pain. And they're medicating however they can. But then they don't have to worry about tests anymore. But maybe they're hooked on something because the NFL wouldn't allow them to smoke marijuana to alleviate it.
Do you think this revelation by Chris Long?
Revelation? That's not a revelation.
Well,
this is known throughout the NFL. It's the owners know and Roger knows and everybody knows.
Is the smartest thing for the NFL then just to stop testing for marijuana, period?
Yeah, but I just think that they're waiting for all 50 states to legalize it for whatever reason. I think that's why, because they're so protective of the shield and I don't know.
Well, they don't want to endorse it. I get that, by the way.
You don't have to endorse marijuana by not testing for it. You don't even have to. Nobody even has to know anymore.
Correct.
They can just send a note to everybody's locker and say, this is what we're testing for once a year.
Right. And marijuana is not on that list.
Right.
Right. Is that what should happen?
Yes. It should have happened years ago.
Yeah.
Look, we have former players here promoting Jake Plummer and Terrell Davis promoting the benefits of the oils in marijuana for your health. So, and it's safe for them to do that because they're out of the NFL. And the NFL doesn't have to say anything about it.
When we come back, what an incredible day for Jokic and information why Klay Thompson is so ticked off. Information I wasn't aware of, but getting on a list makes a big difference. Plus, George the Monster Aston, the fullback competition, what was he like? Why is this is a great story for anybody who is an aspiring, if you're a teenager, you're an adult who has a kid who wants to play sports, that sort of thing. And I got to tell you a tidbit about Norway, Tommy. A Norwegian tidbit about something that probably should change in America. Details next.